This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexual on Joy 94.9.
That's right. This is Triple Bypass, and you're on Joy 94.9. My name is James.
Hey guys, I'm Jess.
And we have a very special guest tonight, Camille Gierk.
Yes, hello.
Who
thank you.
Works in domestic violence and intimate partner violence and things like that, and we're going to be chatting about that sort of thing tonight. So just a heads up, we might be talking about some fairly heavy stuff.
Trigger warning.
So you might want to prepare yourself if you find that sort of thing difficult. I just wanted to say, though, we just listened to Urban Dreaming, our fantastic Indigenous show, and we just like to say that Triple Bypass broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nation, and we acknowledge the past, present and future elders of the people of this land, a land that was never ceded and no treaty was ever signed, especially the brother boys and sister girls of the Indigenous LGBTIQ community. So, Camille, I suppose a very open question to start with, what is it that you do?
So I sit on a board which is called PartnerSpeak, and PartnerSpeak is an organisation that primarily works with women whose partners have either used, obtained or produced online child abuse material. And I also work in the men's early intervention family violence sector as well, one of the peak bodies here in Victoria, and we also have a national focus too. So that pretty much sums me up, really.
So when you say early intervention, how does that work? Like how?
So people, they've already engaged with the service, so it wouldn't be primary intervention or primary prevention. So it's not just advertising campaigns. You're actually engaging with people who have come through to a service, either through the police, courts, or, you know, there's been an issue, bystander intervention, a friend or family member has called up and asked for extra support for that person. So there already is a level of engagement with a community service.
So essentially these people have already experienced interpartner violence or some form of violence in the home, and they're coming to seek support for that. It's not a preventative measure at that
Absolutely.
Stage.
Absolutely. Yep, spot okay. on. And yep. in particular with PartnerSpeak, PartnerSpeak consists of an intentional peer support model, which is a forum on their website, and that's all about victim survivors empowering other victim survivors yep. for, you know, a mutually beneficial kind of exchange, focusing on, you know, not what the problem is but what happened. It's trauma-informed. It's very intentional, which is why it's called intentional peer support.
Yes.
But it's sustainable too as well. And it's a community way of thinking rather than just a straight-up framework. So with PartnerSpeak, it's the way in which we engage with women is by them coming onto the website and actively engaging with the forum. So that's another... I mean, you could argue that that is quite late intervention, but really it's... They could be asking questions. They could have concerns. They could have found, you know, child abuse material on... Sorry, child abuse material on their son's computer or their partner's. So, I mean, it's pretty broad, I suppose, in terms of the spectrum of engagement. But really, when I talk about my work, it is in the early intervention space, and that's what that means.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Awesome.
So, in your sort of ideally, what is the sort of result of your work? Like, what if it works, and you know that you're doing good in the community, what does that look like to you?
Oh, look, I mean, it depends. I think with, in terms of PartnerSpeak, I think it would be measured by, I guess, the satisfaction of that person, how often they're engaging with the service. If it's decreased, things might be stable in their life if they're, not as active on the forum. And in the men's family violence space, when you're looking at lower recidivism rates, so reoffending rates, that's a pretty good measure that, you know, behaviour change programs may be working.
Okay.
So, and I mean, obviously homicide rates going down as well.
So do you find that these two programs working concurrently is actually the best sort of approach? So you're having the intervention with women who are experiencing interpartner violence, but then also with the behaviour change programs on the perpetrators. Do you find that bringing those two programs together actually has the best outcomes for people?
Well, yeah, and I mean, I probably haven't explained properly. So they don't, the programs, from my knowledge, don't include, like, the straight-up men's baby change programs don't include any kind of sexual behaviours or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess having them run concurrently, I wouldn't know too much about. Mm-hmm. However, I know that, I'm not sure if I really answered your question there, I think pulling them both apart and realising that... you know, men's use of online child abuse material is still mm-hmm. a way to kind of coerce and control a family dynamic, which is family violence. So I guess mm-hmm. it's putting that on the agenda as a method and kind of behaviour of family violence, whereas it was excluded. But I don't think, you know, men's behaviour change programs have necessarily caught up with that.
Mm-hmm.
And because these aren't necessarily common behaviours that, you know, men exert, a men's behaviour change program would have to be quite specific to deal with men with those sorts of behaviours. So,
and you've just touched on something really interesting, that it's not necessarily just about physical violence. There are various forms of interpartner violence that can happen, including emotional, sexual, psychological, and we often forget that they're also really strong forms of interpartner violence that can really control and manipulate a lot of, I guess, victims.
Yeah, particularly spiritual and financial. They're two huge ones that have, you know, had a lot more visibility in the past kind of five years or so. I mean, the more we can do is just create more awareness about both of them and the impacts, and why there needs to be more, you know, awareness and funding, and particularly into, you know, early intervention and quite poignant services as well.
Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating that you're using, you know, the idea of an online forum for this. I mean, it's a, you know, the internet just makes things possible now that weren't possible before. And so that's part of your work, is it? Sort of just making the services just easier to access?
Well, in Partner Speak's case, so that's the Intentional Peer Support Forum that's housed on their website, that in terms of accessibility, it's phenomenal. Like, the engagement rates are really high, and I think that also has to do with the shame and stigma that a lot of women and children experience when their partners, you know, have been charged with, you know, possession of online child abuse material. Mm-hmm. So, or, you know, producing or distributing or whatnot. So, I mean, it's another avenue of online engagement, but I mean, there's growing evidence around online interventions as well, which are phenomenal. I mean, not to replace kind of face-to-face counselling or group work face-to-face, but it's phenomenal to see how many people you can reach online as well, particularly visible communities.
Yep. And you actually mentioned something a bit earlier before we got on air, about a new app that is being developed called Hello Cass. Could you just give us a rundown about, I guess, what the goal of something like this is and what they're hoping to achieve with an app that is accessible for people?
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I said visible before. I meant to say invisible. So Hello Cass is a chatbot. So Hello Cass is headed up by an organisation called Goodhood. They're a little organisation, Melbourne-based. They're phenomenal. They've developed a chatbot, which is basically just like SMS functionality for, you know, people, mainly women, who are experiencing intimate partner violence.
Sorry, for the less tech-savvy people listening, what's a chatbot?
Sorry, so a chatbot is, you know, like Siri or Alexia, I think it is, or Cortana.
Alexa.
So basically like a artificial intelligence there to support you. So Cass is a chatbot, and you can engage with her via SMS. So it's very discreet. You SMS a number. It's soon to be launched. So watch this space. But it's a fantastic platform for people to engage with if they just want to ask questions, if they've got concerns about their friends, family, themselves. It's just a really discreet way to gather information. And, I mean, you know, I would never kind of suggest, and the literature wouldn't back this up either, that that's in place of face-to-face counselling or service interaction.
Yep.
But it's a way to kind of bridge people and get them to that.
It's that first step instead of having to engage with someone, which can be very daunting and intimidating to actually come out and talk about interpartner violence.
Yep.
That sense of, I guess, that security we get behind a screen, as we often hear, you know, in the media and stuff like that. So it's giving that, giving people an opportunity to reach out, find some information, and then become comfortable in seeking maybe support.
Absolutely. Yep.
So we need to have a little break now, and we're going to go to a song. But stick with us. We'll be back really soon. We'll be talking about more of this. Now, I just should mention that if anything that we're talking about tonight is upsetting to you, which some of it might be, then please... there are people you can call, such as you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14. If you'd like to talk to us, by the way, you can send us an SMS on 0427 Joy 949. That's 0427 569 949. Or you can flick us an email on air at joy.org.au. Back on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
So that song was Strong Woman by Jen Cloher. And Camille, I'm wondering why you chose that song for tonight.
Oh, it's a fantastic song.
We were definitely rocking out.
The name's pretty self-explanatory,
Fantastic.
So... for those who are just tuning in, we are talking to Camille Gierke, who does a lot of work in the community, looking after people who are encountering abuse or intimate partner violence or other forms of, unpleasantness, and looking to do early intervention and community support.
Yeah, and I guess I should probably expand on that further. So my role is specifically in communication, so often get confused as being a practitioner in the space as well, which is very flattering. But, I mean, it's it almost is a bit of a luxury to be a comms person working in the family violence early intervention space, both for Partner Speak and in the men's early intervention space, men's being the behaviour change space. So I do feel very lucky to have this role. It's very – all these roles, they're very dynamic, and I'm working with a lot of, you know, incredible people, but – really, my role is to kind of identify the best ways to communicate with audience members, really.
And I guess that really highlights that you're trying very hard in your roles to create awareness within the community.
Yep.
How do you find that, like, I guess domestic violence, as it gets termed, has been quite a hot topic in media as of late, but how do you find awareness within the LGBTI communities is? Do you guys get a lot of feedback from people in our community?
Not enough, in short. In the past 5 years, we've seen a huge amount of, I guess, media focus on a very kind of heteropatriarchal, white, cisgender idea of family violence. And there is fantastic work being done within the LGBTI space, particularly around addressing perpetrator interventions, but there needs to be far more work done, particularly in the bi space as well.
Yeah, because we have talked about this in the past, but bisexuals, especially bisexual women, the stats that we have, which unfortunately we don't have really great information, but the information that we do have suggests that bisexual women suffer, targeted by intimate partner violence more than pretty much any other demographic, and we're not really sure why. So it'd be great to get some funding so we could actually investigate that.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a few pieces of key literature around, particularly from an American context as well. But definitely, with an Australian context, we need far more kind of research awareness-raising campaigns, public health awareness campaigns. You know, all we can do is keep lobbying, advocating, you know, pushing the envelope.
And there's a catch-22, isn't there? Because when you say, you know, well, we have information that, you know, that this is a problem, you know, bisexual women are particularly vulnerable and we need to intervene, you know, so often a government organisation that you might be looking to for funding will say, you know, well, I want to see the statistics. And it's like, well, we don't have the statistics because the research is lacking. Yep, so you say, oh, well, can we get funding to do some research? And they say, well, we want it to be demonstrated. You need to prove to us that there is a problem first before we'll fund the research. And it just goes round and round in circles.
Yes, absolutely.
I actually had this conversation with somebody in government a week ago, so it's a little fresh in my mind and I might be a teensy bit bitter.
No, it's not showing at all, James.
Oh, look, it's completely understandable. I think one of the biggest, you know, something that I'm really focusing on, particularly from Partner Speak's point of view, is within risk assessments in a family violence, you know, family violence setting, looking at getting, you know, whether he being the man choosing to use violence, another kind of synonym is perpetrator that gets thrown around a lot. Yeah. So the person choosing to use violence, whether or not he's used or obtained online child abuse material, at the moment that is excluded from risk assessments. It kind of goes down another stream entirely. So this is all part and parcel of recognising that, you know, men's use of online child abuse material of a sexual nature that's exploitative and illegal, it needs to be included within family violence risk assessments.
Yeah.
100%.
And I believe we were actually talking about something very similar on the show a couple of weeks ago around the fact that interpartner violence doesn't, when the people are responding to interpartner violence, whether it's the police or a service, very, very often the nature of the relationship between the people who are in that violent relationship often gets excluded. So whether or not people are in bisexual relationships or open relationships or poly relationships or, you know, the sexual orientation of, you know, the people that are in that scenario is really getting overlooked. And I think that's where a lot of bisexuals are being overlooked when they're becoming a bit more, when they are victims of this type of violence as well.
Well, yeah, Absolutely. And I think that is, it goes down to believability, you know. We have a history of, you know, not believing certain people within the LGBTI community around, you know, interpersonal relationships and violence, and therefore there's a lack of reporting, and as a result, visibility, transparency. It's we need to do far more work in this space, and I mean, it's it just cannot come quick enough, really.
And I know there has been some excellent work done in, like, male-male relationships. That's just in the time that I've been around Joy, I've noticed that there's been more of that sort of thing coming up. But it's, I mean, obviously, you know, what we'd think of as a straight relationship, I'm making air quotes here, great radio, what we'd think of as a straight relationship, obviously that gets a lot of attention because it is, you know, obviously that's a big demographic.
Yep. Like
that's a huge, in terms of numbers, that's a lot of people being represented, and they obviously need a lot of support. But, yeah, some of the less common sort of, the ways that couples can be built up.
Absolutely. And with the growing awareness, there's, you know, not enough kind of awareness or funding just yet. We'll keep persevering. ACON in New South Wales are rolling out some fantastic, it's escaping my mind right now. They're running a same gender behaviour change program, much like VAC's revisioning program here in Melbourne, VAC being Victorian AIDS Council. They're also running a non-binary behaviour change program as well. This is ACON in New South Wales still. And there's one more, it's escaped my mind, but if you just head to acon.org.au, pretty sure that's their website, you can find out some more information. And, of course, through VAC as well, they'll have the latest and greatest information on their website too, vac.org.au.
That's amazing. I think it's great that we're actually starting to have a look at people who are non-binary and how we can actually address behaviour change for people who are non-binary, because there's so many male behaviour change groups out there, but it doesn't necessarily, you know, it can't fit for everybody.
Absolutely. So that's right.
That's really great work that they're doing.
Yeah. And I mean, something else that I'm kind of really passionate about too is, again, we can, you know, we can commence all these fantastic groups and whatnot, but how are we, what's the outreach looking like? So what are the best ways to communicate? And this kind of draws back to what we were talking about with Hello Cass, the chatbot who you can SMS. I mean, I shy away a little bit from, I've said chatbot about 5 times tonight, but I try not to use it in my day-to-day language. I'd rather just say SMS, like it's SMS, it's like SMSing a mate, really. And you can also find out more information, goodhood.com. So,
You can sell that to kids really well, because you're just like, because you get help for the problems that are going on in your life and you get to talk to a robot.
Yeah, exactly. But it's interesting, you know, how personified chatbots become. You know, it's amazing. Like
they have their own personalities.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Absolutely.
We just had a lovely SMS in from Nathan in Mill Park saying, it's great to hear such good work happening, Camille. Thanks for bringing attention to it, and the queer community can learn a lot from this work. Now, if you want to send us a message, you can SMS us on 0427 569 949. Send us an email on air at joy.org.au. We're just going to have a very quick break right now. We're going to have a nice song, and we'll be back really soon. You're on Joy 94.9.
Good thanks. This is Effie, and you're listening to Australia's LGBTI radio station, Joy 94.9.
And welcome back to Triple Bypass. My name's James.
I'm Jess. You were just listening to Sherry by Loose Tooth, and we're joined by Camille tonight, who's picking all of our lovely tracks. So thank you for that.
Pleasure.
So tell us about Loose Tooth.
Oh, Loose Tooth are fantastic. I first saw Loose Tooth.
Precisely.
Sounds like you have a loose tooth.
My daughter's got, she just lost both of her front teeth, so it's just hilarious.
You should have got her on your saying loose tooth.
get her to do the live
reaction. Oh, so gorgeous. I first saw Loose Tooth when, a couple of years ago, I was playing with my partner's band at Camp Nong, and it was phenomenal.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was incredible. They had such a great energy. energy.
Love it. Yeah. That's awesome. So we were just talking about a lot of, I guess, interpartner violence awareness. That was sort of where we left off last in our conversation. So I guess just moving back to that and now talking about, you know, the role of masculinity, toxic masculinity in interpartner violence awareness, I guess, given that that's sort of where you're working at the moment in communication.
It can be surprising, kind of, because, like, there's the cliche that, you know, masculinity, you know, the sort of the idea of mainstream masculinity, it's like, oh, it's a straight man thing, and queer men, you know, aren't into that whole mainstream masculinity thing. But it does have a bearing, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think there are different types of masculinity, and I think in the past, I guess, year, masculinity, just the word, it has so many negative connotations, but there are so many healthy versions of masculinity and so many dangerous versions too. Yeah. And for so long we've kind of, you know, pitched them both. You're either good or you're bad. You know, it's a healthy or it's an unhealthy version of masculinity, but it's so complex and it's so varied, and I think we need to explore that more, 100%, yeah.
Yeah. You were talking before about behavior change programs, and I imagine that you actually would get a lot of men into your programs that aren't necessarily bad guys, they're just doing bad things to their partners.
Yep.
So how do you find that the behavior programs do tackle, you know, drawing out the good and, you know, learning to change that those bad behaviors?
Oh, look, I mean, again, I, as not having a practitioner lens and just speaking, you know, anecdotally from, you know, from having, you know, conversations with my practitioner colleagues and whatnot, it would definitely, you know, something that they would say first and foremost is that the behaviours that they're using are a choice fundamentally, and they can choose to not make those decisions and, you know, to not make those, I guess, to not kind of fall into those traps where they are choosing to use those behaviours specifically as well. They're not always, it's not always physical and it's not always sexual violence. So I guess, you know, tapping back into their narratives, how are they, what's their self-talk like? What makes it, you know, for them, why does it make them think it's okay to behave in that certain way?
Because there's a lot of, around this sort of thing, there's a lot of sort of unhelpful narrative, isn't there, about how, you know, somebody couldn't help themselves, or, you know, they just, they lost control, or that sort of thing. And it's like, well, how about we work on actually making the choice to not lose control, and
absolutely.
And what you were just saying about, you know, internal narratives as well, and given that we're talking a bit about masculinity here, do you guys, as you know, because you're in communications and you work a lot around creating awareness, do you try to tackle those issues sort of cohesively? So, you know, creating awareness of what toxic masculinity is and how that can, you know, we can use behaviour change to modify those narratives?
Absolutely. It, language is so important. It can be really exclusionary, and it can also be very inclusive. So it's, you do really need to kind of trial and test certain, you know, sentences, phrases, you know, even turns of phrase, all those sorts of things. Colloquial language is something that, you know, Australians will rely on relentlessly. And it's something that, you know, I fall into the trap, you know, of as well. And it's to be relatable, but to be inclusive and to kind of start changing that language and, you know, how we think. We need to start really offering up a diverse kind of set of alternatives for people, really, so that they can articulate themselves better.
And because once the language that you use is important as well, because sometimes, you know, there's that joke about masculinity being fragile, but it actually sort of can be.
Oh, it's such a thing.
And, you know, people who value their masculinity can feel threatened very easily. And sometimes just the wrong word or the wrong phrase can pretty much shut them down, yeah?
Absolutely. It's interesting you say that, because today at work I was talking to a couple of colleagues about the word feminism and how polarising it is for a lot of men, and not that we want to kind of, you know, soften the blow, but there needs to be some, I guess, alternative, because we do need to start having those really difficult conversations with.
That's right. You don't want to soften the blow, but you don't want people shutting down every time you try to bring those topics up, and then it's not getting through anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, as in all things, it's about the balance. It's about, you know, making it accessible and making it something that people will accept, but also, you know, do the job it needs to do.
Absolutely. Yep. And that's, you know, and, you know, kind of linking back to Partner Speaks work, that's something that they focus on, BTIME, which, you know, in and around their work, it's extremely important work, mm-hmm. but how they get their message out about their service can be really polarizing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not for the faint-hearted. I mean, when you're talking about online child abuse material, a lot of people, they just shut down. They don't want to hear about it. Look, that's privilege. You know, if someone doesn't have to think about it, they don't want to, or it could be trauma. So it's also finding that balance between what's safe to talk about, what language can we use that's going to be inclusive, engaging, but also talk to the seriousness of the issue. Yeah.
And, of course, there's that other thing that can happen as well, where when you talk about this sort of thing at all, and some people will just go, well, anyone who does that is bad. It's like a black and white side of a coin thing.
Yep.
They are bad. At this point, we don't engage with them anymore because they are just irredeemably bad people. And that's obviously not helpful.
No, it's absolutely not. And we always kind of turn ourselves inside out with the and I think that's kind of why the whole not all men kind of you know, hashtag and movement, I guess, is so funny. Funny and sad. You laugh or you cry. But I think it's really it kind of brings up a lot of thoughts around, well, who are these nice guys and who are these bad guys? And if we all think that we're nice guys, well, who are the, you know, bad guys? It's just, it's a minefield, really. So you're trying to find that kind of sweet spot where it's not a good versus bad kind of binary, really.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I know there are also people in the community who, you know, they recognise, for example, that they have the capacity to, you know, they have a sexual attraction to underage children, and they don't act on it, and they recognise that they have it, and they say, right, I want to go and get help, and it's incredibly difficult. Mm. Like, so
they,
many...
They can't get help, because as soon as they seek someone out, it's, you know, I've done a lot of sort of reading up on this topic, and a lot of people just get turned away from support, and they're actively trying to get support for something they don't want to be living with, and unfortunately are, and it's that those exclusionary behaviours that, you know, I guess general community has for those types of behaviours, by excluding and isolating people, it actually makes it so much more difficult for them to get help, get treatment, and then be able to do the whole behaviour change thing, you know, that we were talking about before.
And Camille, do you think that also happens with, like, family violence and that sort of thing?
Absolutely, yep. And I think the more that there are stigmas, the harder it is to obtain safe and inclusive services, because there is a lack of service provision. Yep. Because people, I mean, there's a small pocket where people want to do the work, but it becomes niche, and it can't be niche. It needs to be mainstream. It needs to be looked at and thought about as important as, you know, the hetero community experiencing family violence.
Yep.
You know, it there needs to be far more awareness, really. I keep saying that, but you know, repetition is key.
There's a balance to be found there as well, because at the same time, like, while you're saying, you know, these people are seeking help, that we should give them help so that they won't offend, or so they'll be less likely to offend, at the same time, there are people who've been the victims of these sorts of things, and we should absolutely be respectful of them and the fact that they find it incredibly confronting and don't want to deal with people like that. So,
no, and you've hit a really good point there, and I think that it when someone's trying to seek help for their, you know, behaviours, if they are, and if they're going to be a social outcast, if they come forward about thoughts and feelings and impulses that they haven't acted on, if, you know, there is those you're kind of breaking social contracts, and the issue is that that kind of engenders stigma, isolation, and what that means then for families seeking support, you know, particularly in the case of Partner Speak, with women whose, you know, partners have been charged with online child abuse material, it makes it harder for them to obtain support as well as secondary victims.
Oh, absolutely. You know? I can imagine that the stigma surrounding them, as even though they are victims in this as well, I imagine the stigma surrounding their involvement and how could you be with that person,
how didn't you know all that stuff.
That would just be absolutely terrifying for anyone to then go and seek help and comfort in their own, you know, in their own, I guess, desperation.
Yep.
In that situation, that would just be so, so isolating.
Yep.
So it's amazing that Partner Speaker are tackling this.
Yeah, For sure. It's, you just touched on it perfectly. It's, there is so much shame and stigma, and what that leads to is underreporting. You know, a lot of policymakers and funders go, oh, it's not an issue. And it's like, well, no, there's just not appropriate platforms and safe platforms for people to come forward. So, yeah, just echoing your point, that's exactly why we need something like Partner Speak, which is discreet.
Yeah, that's awesome work. We're going to go to a short break, but I just wanted to mention that if anything tonight that we're discussing is causing any concerns or it's triggering for you, please don't hesitate to get support. That's kind of what we've just been talking about. So contact Lifeline on 13 11 14. You can also call QLife on 1800 184 527. And you can call them anytime from 3 p.m. to midnight in your state around Australia every day. And there's also Kids Helpline at any time for any reason. You can reach them on 1-800-55-1800.
That's right. So we're just going to go to a song now and then we'll be right back. So this is Sia.
Good.
That was Sia, Clap Your Hands. I love that track so much.
And you guys are listening to Triple Bypass on Joy.
Joy 94.9. We're talking with Camille Gieck, who works in communications in intimate partner violence and early intervention with various things along those lines. You do a lot of different things. You work in a lot of different fields.
Oh, I sit on a board and I have a full-time paid job. That's about it, really.
The luxuries of a full-time paid job.
Yeah,
oh, that's all.
Yeah,
you just sit on the board. That's all you do.
That's unpaid, so that I mind.
So what are the boards that you're on? What's the work that you do on them?
Oh, so I'm only on one board. Sorry, I've oversold myself. I sit on PartnerSpeak. PartnerSpeak's an organisation that's set up with intentional peer support for women whose partners have been charged or found with possession of online child abuse material.
So just for those listeners who don't necessarily know what an intentional peer support model is, can you just explain very briefly what that actually looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been schooled by the intentional peer support worker at PartnerSpeak that
Perfect.
It actually isn't it's not a framework per se. It's a way of thinking and behaving. And just from my early readings of intentional peer support, because I am no expert, it's a proven way of thinking and I guess workshop kind of space and in terms of what it cultivates. And look, I mean, it's focusing on really not kind of what the problem is, but what happened. And it's very solutions focused. It's aspirational, not to kind of discount any kind of trauma, because it is trauma informed. But the whole kind of point and what underpins it is you will have victim survivors who've been through similar kind of experiences who will kind of coach each other.
Yep.
It's mutually beneficial. It's not like a kind of, I guess, it's not like a one-on-one kind of counselling session. Mm-hmm. It's what can we both get from this? How can we both learn from each other and critique each other?
And you were telling us, while we were bouncing along to see it, you were telling us that there's a new partner speaker's rolling out a new program?
Yeah, so their intentional peer support model, not that it's a model, sorry, I keep doing that.
Yeah.
Their forum, sorry, is on their website, partnerspeak.org.au. And you can, you know, if you just want to have a scan and check out what's on there, go for it. But for the first time ever, they're rolling out face-to-face intentional peer support in New South Wales. I think in the next couple of weeks or so, which also coincides with their SBS Insight segment, which was, I think it's being recorded on the 28th of Feb. So if you want to get a studio seat, register away on the website. So look, yeah, a lot of work in that space, and you know, as a board member, we're still in the throes of putting together the vision, mission statement, our strat plan for the next 3 years, which is very exciting. And look, I mean, it's got a national scope, which is again a lot of work, but it's very exciting. And you know, the CEO Natalie Walker is just phenomenal. She's also a victim survivor herself, so she is just you know, a joy to work with and for. Absolutely.
So we should mention this one more time, because we have been talking about some fairly difficult topics tonight. If anything we've been discussing has caused you some trouble or some emotional upset, you can always call Lifeline on 13 11 14. If you have specifically LGBTIQ-related issues, anytime between 3 p.m. and midnight, you can call QLife on 1800 184 527. And any of our younger listeners, you can call Kids Helpline anytime, 24/7, for any reason, just to have someone to talk to. That's 1-800-55-1800.
Great. And just one add-on is Partner Speaker also actively looking for volunteers within the LGBTI space to run their intentional peer support face-to-face as well. So if you're interested, please get in touch with Partner Speak.
And this is perfect. That's exactly what we're needing at this time. And it's horrible that people have experienced these experiences. But the fact that you're going with an intentional peer support model and calling along, you know, the people in the LGBTI space, you know, that's going to create so much more awareness for people in that community who are experiencing interpartner violence, which it is rife. Like, I know that there isn't a lot of research done yet, but from the statistics that we have got in the research that we do have, we can see just how much there is in the community, and we do need to create an awareness by, you know, having people come on board and, you know, in that model.
And
not
we know that
model, but you know, in the intentional peer support work.
And we know that in our bisexual community, which is the focus of our show,
of course,
in the bisexual community, people are overrepresented as far as these sorts of statistics go, being targeted by these kinds of violence. So, it's a good thing to work on because we need all the information we can get.
And the more conversations, the better. The more we destigmatise it, the better. Mm-hmm. In Partner Speak's case, online child abuse material is an area that's quite invisible for the victim survivors. All we can do is keep talking about it, engaging with people from, you know, all different walks of life, that it's sadly quite common. That's all we can really do, just keep pushing the envelope.
Well, hopefully we can generate some awareness and through that show people that they can, you know, it's not exclusionary and that they can come forward and they can get support that they need because these services are out there, you know. And like you were talking about HelloCast, now you're telling us about how Partner Speak is, you know, helping people as well. There are services out there that are specifically designed to help with these issues, and the more representation we can have within these organisations and support systems, the more chances that we'll be able to support each other through that experience.
Absolutely.
And if you identify as bisexual or pansexual or queer or anything outside the gay straight binary, getting involved in this sort of thing would be fantastic as well, because getting more bi plus voices means we get more representation and we're more likely to have our needs addressed by these programs as well.
Yep. Which are often overlooked, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, so
we're doing our best.
Yep. And look, I know definitely HelloCast, the team at Good Hood, which have, you know, they're heading up CAS, and also Partner Speak, they want a partner. So if you've got an idea, if you've got, you know, your organisation's kind of champing at the bit, wanting to kind of move into the bi space or LGBTI space more broadly, get in touch, definitely.
Yeah, awesome.
Okay, so we're finishing up. Unfortunately, we've had a fantastic time talking to Camille, even though some of it was heavy going. Coming up next, we've got Local Roots, which is the Aussie music show on Joy. It's got some great tunes. And you've been listening to Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening, guys. I'm Jess.
I'm Camille. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for coming, Camille. It was really great to hear what you guys are doing in the community.
Fantastic. Thank you.
And if you want to hear any of our previous shows, you can find us on joy.org.au/triplebypass. Download a podcast. You can even listen to this one again if you want to. It'll be online pretty soon.
Thank you.
So thanks, everyone, and we will see you next Tuesday, 9 p.m. on Triple Bypass and Joy 94.9.
He left a car to bar soap and a scrubbing brush next to an office, said use this down to your buns. And before I knew, I had shiny skin and I felt easy being clean like him. I thought this one knows better than I do. A triangle trying to squeeze through a circle. He tried to cut me so I'd fit. And doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that hit too close to her? The way things could have gone. And doesn't that feel peculiar when everyone wants a little more? So that I do remember to never go that far. Could you leave me with a scar? So the next one came with a bag of treats. She smelled like and spoke like the scene. She told me, don't trust them, trust me. Then she pulled in my stitches one by one, looked at my insides, clicking her tongue, and said, this will all have to come undone. A triangle trying to squeeze through a circle. She tried to blind me so I'd fit. Doesn't that sound familiar? Close to home. Doesn't that make you shiver? The way things could have gone. And doesn't it feel peculiar when everyone wants a little more? So that I do remember to never go.
just in time. Although my old self was hard to find, you can bathe me in your finest wine, but I'll never give you mine. 'Cause I'm a little bit tired of fearing that I'll be the bad fruit nobody buys. Tell me, did you think we'd all dream the same? And doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that hit too close to home? Doesn't that make you shiver the way things could have gone? And doesn't it feel peculiar when everyone wants a little more, so that I do remember to never go that far? Could you leave me with the sky? Could you leave me with the sky? Could you leave me with the sky?
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.